Rule number one. From the book Vidibarta Bam, Parshat Noach. Okay. So, Rashi says that though the people in Noach's generation, they did many sins, but there was one sin in particular which destined them to, the decree was sealed, that was why they were going to be destroyed.
Robbing our friends.
Robbery. Geza. Exactly. Awesome. Now the Baal HaTurim finds a fantastic allusion to this, that it was specifically Geza. By the way, why specifically Geza? Why would thievery be the reason why they get done in and they get decreed? Why is that so terrible?
It's Adam HaAdam.
It's been an amachaveru, that could be it.
It's blatantly saying,
I mean, a lot of sins say that, but it also has been an amachaveru, it also has been an lamakom elements. The Rambam also, the Ramban, Nachmanides, so he also points out that people naturally know not to steal. It's a miracle.
Give up.
We'll get there. We will get to singing songy voice time. There.
What did we learn?
This is not
that.
Okay, don't worry about it. I'm not going 2.5 hours. You have a step. There'll be time. Okay, so I just want to share it. So Rashi says it was thievery, right? So we know that every reward and punishment, we have this concept called midah k'neged midah. Yeah? That God punished you in accordance with the sin that you've done. So check this. What's the gematria of Gezel?
37, 30, 40.
Now, do we see 40 coming up any other time when in the
40 days, 40 nights, 40 years.
For the flood was 40 days on the world. So they sinned with the sin of Gezel, which is gematria 40, and so they got 40 days where they got wiped out.
Isn't it also like they had to choose to punish this man in the desert for 40 years?
Yeah, 40 is always rebirth. Yeah. So that makes sense. Guys, 1 to 10, how would you rate that? I know it's not shot, but in terms of coolness.
Priest, I like the mantras.
What do we got? 7? 6? 8?
40.
A 40. Awesome. Okay, now check this one. Check this, guys. The Torah describes it. The Torah describes the destruction of the world as Kates Kol Basar. The end of all flesh has come before me. What's the gematria of Kates?
140. 190.
Now check this. There's 40 days of flooding, and then there was 150 days more where there was unabated flood.
That's 190. That's Kates.
150 days plus 40 days equals 190 Kates. So they got 190 days of rain in proportion to the gematria of Kates, which is the end of all flesh. All right, that was the Holy Baal HaTurim. He's a smart guy. You guys ready for the next Parsha Pearl of the week? Okay. Ready? Okay, here. Next. Again, these are not Parsha Pshat. Not to be confused with Parsha Pshat. Just really creative explanations of the Parshanim. So, Rashi says, Tzohar ta'aseh la'tevar. God commanded Noah to make a light. So, there's two explanations in Rashi as to the meaning of this Tzohar. Okay? One explanation is that it was a window. He was supposed to make a window. And the other explanation, anybody know? What was the explanation of Rashi with the Tzohar meant? A light. A shining light inside of the Tefah. Yeah? You with me? So either a window or a light. So what's the deeper meaning behind this? We know that all these Midrashim and Rashis, they must have a deeper message. So perhaps it can be brought back to another Rashi that we discussed early in the week. Remember we said that there's two possibilities about Noah. Either he was truly righteous, he was a super tzaddik, or he wasn't really that righteous, just compared to his generation, he was righteous, right? That was the first Rashi we learned. So So perhaps you could say that according to the opinion that it was a window, that's the opinion, that's saying Noach was a tzaddik. He was truly righteous. And so he could see all the destruction of the world and kind of say, look, I'm better than them. He could look down upon them and say, I'm on a higher level than them. And so he had the right to kind of look at them. But if you say that Noach really wasn't such a huge tzaddik, it was okay. So then he wouldn't have the right to look at them through a window. He's really not that much better than them. And so the teva had to be completely shut, and he could only have a light. You get it? It's a creative shot. He's saying these two Rashis, actually each one matches up to the different shitas in terms of how we understand Noah. Come on, that's pretty creative. All right, 1 to 10. What do we got, guys?
Maybe a total story.
Seven. I thought it was an 8, but... All right, you guys are a tough sells. Okay, so let's go for this one. This is the Halakha Baal Shem Tov. So this one, this is what the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus. We know that the Pasuk says, Tse el ha-teva, leave the teva. Okay, let me find the exact lashon. And according to Chassidus, of course, we know that every word in the Torah, not a word is wasted. So what is the meaning, the deeper meaning behind Tse min ha-teva? So beyond teva meaning ark, what else can teva mean? What other meaning? No, I'm sorry, it's not Tse el ha-teva, it's Bo el ha-teva. Go into the word. Go into the...
Go into nature.
That's teva with an ayin. Teva tuf yud bed hey, has another meaning. What could it mean? Could mean... word. Go into the word. Teva means word. So Zach the Baal Shem Tov is actually the first Vartar of the Baal Shem Tov on the Torah. This is really like the founding principle of Chassidus. He says, sometimes when we study Torah, we forget its holiness and the one who gave us the Torah. And when we say our prayers without sincerity or attention to the meaning. So God was saying, just as Noah was commanded to enter with his entire being into the teva, so we are told to enter with all our heart and soul into the words of Torah and prayer, reading the words carefully from the Torah book or prayer book, saying each word with feeling. In this way, we fulfill in the spiritual sense the command of a light you shall make for the teva. Illuminate the words of Torah and prayer with deeper feeling and holiness until they become bright and shining words that illuminate one's whole being and God's holiness. So it says the Baal Shem Tov, every word of prayer and every word of Torah, you should mamash meditate upon it and go into the words until it mamash shines into your consciousness. That's the deeper teaching of Chassidus.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty nice. May not exact, definitely not pshat, not super pshat, but
pretty
gaval, nonetheless. What do you guys say? 1 to 10.
1 to 10.
On the mamash gaval.
I don't think it was as good as the last one, so I give it a 7 flat instead of 7.
I'll give it a
6.5. Whoa! Right.
Oh. I give it 16 flaxes.
Guys, I'm going to demonstrate going to the word right now. Ready?
Be done. The last word.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol yibidlanu. I just satisfied my goal, mamash. Okay. Tov. All right, let's do two more parsha pearls, and then if there's time, we'll get into a little bit of shot. Okay.
It's like a 10.
Aw, thanks. Okay. Okay. So,
It wasn't a compliment. It was a
what?
Request.
Oh, give us a 10. Oh, I'm sorry.
What did you guys say?
Oh, I thought you said it was like a 10. Okay.
Sorry.
It's all good. Okay. Guys. Here's the shot. So we all know that Noah brought an olive leaf. Thank you very much. Give a piece for everyone. Okay? So, Chaver, be with me. If you're here, you're with me. You do not have to be here. You go, Rabbi. Okay. So why of all leaves did the saving of the world come through an olive leaf? Why specifically olive? What's unique about olive leaf that represents Israel?
Nice. Could be it represents Israel.
What else could olive represent? Why specific peace? Well, it represents peace because of this story.
Yeah.
But why specifically olive?
Round.
Okay, so watch this. Watch this.
Oh,
says of olive.
Oh, kazayas, something
nice. I like it. Maybe some of that. Watch it. Prior to the flood, the inhabitants of the world were very corrupt. Immorality was rampant among humans, and even cattle and fowl consorted with other species. This caused all to lose their unique identities. Now watch this, Evra. An olive produces oil. It can't mix with any other liquids and floats to the top. The message to Noah was that after the flood, the human race was required to improve its ways. It was forbidden to ever again mix and mingle as it had done previously. You get it? The whole world, the reason the world was destroyed is because everyone was mixing improperly. The animals were sleeping with each other, the humans were sleeping with each other. There was a complete distortion of borders. Everyone was stealing from each other. The olive, the message of the olive separates from the rest of the water. It never comes together. It separates.
What? Vegetarians. That's right. Until we got vegetarian chilling tonight.
God, that was mom. It was a 10. That was brilliant. You never knew.
A 4.
Guys, I don't think Alan got the final vote.
Grandma, that was an 8.
Alan's
a pessimist. Jeremy gave it an 8. Jeremy gave it an 8.
I want it.
Yoni, what do you think? What do you think? Wow, 7.75. Not bad. Okay, alright. One more. Honestly, I don't know if this is the best, but I think it's very nice. It's a creative one.
Wait, is there one 10 there?
Honestly, I would have given that one a 10. I would have given a bunch of these 10s. This is blue. I read these at 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. I was like crying. It's so beautiful.
There's gotta be so, one like a...
Wait.
Guys, one
to me, this proved either that the Torah is genius or that the Jewish people are geniusly creative, but either way, it's beautiful. Okay, so we know that this one is a little bit of a stretch, but I think it's cute. Okay, so we know that Noah gave a korban. And which korban did he give? He gave a korban olah. Now, why specifically an olah? We know of all the korbanot, the olah was the one which you can't eat. You don't eat it at all. Okay. You just bring it up to God. So why wouldn't he have brought a korban todah, which is like a more of a, wow, God just saved the world, I'm alive. That would have made a lot more sense. Let's bring a korban todah.
What would an olah mean?
What?
Like todah is thank you, what's olah?
It's like totally like recognizing subservience to God. You could go that way.
He's basically saying, yo, don't do this again.
Yeah, so that makes sense on a pshat level, but this is a more creative pshat. No, we're not at the pshat. This is Parsha Pearls. Nothing to do with pshat. Just nice creative words. So he says the Oitzer Chaim, that when Noah came out of the ark, remember, he wasn't allowed to eat meat yet. He's still a vegetarian. Only afterwards did God allow him to eat meat. So when you bring a korban todah, you have to eat the meat. So all the korbanot you have to eat except for the olah. The olah is the only one. You don't eat from it. You just give it up completely to God. So therefore, Noah gave an olah because he couldn't yet eat the meat. That explains it.
It's a
6. See, Alan liked it. Alan liked that one. Nice. Not bad. Okay. One final one. Guys, I will leave you with this part, Parsha Pearl. I don't know if it's a 10.
There would be a 10 in there.
I don't even think.
It is a 10.
I don't, more ice cream?
In the freezer, there's some more if you want to run. But stay tuned. This is definitely, I don't think this is even close to pshat, but I think it's really funny. So I'm going to teach it to you nonetheless, okay? As our final Parsha Pearl of the day. We know it says the Migdal Bavel that they built a tower up to heaven. Now, I have a whole pshat here that totally goes against the Shita of Rashi. But Rashi nonetheless says, Lefi Rashi, that they wanted to do what? What was the purpose of the Migdal?
Reach God.
They wanted to make war on God. They wanted to battle against God. And the question is, what were they thinking? How are they going to battle against God? So it says, Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz, this is in the 1700s. Okay, this is 300 years ago. This is what Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz says. He says, the rabbi of Prague and a renowned Torah scholar. They knew the laws of gravity. And their plan was to build a tower so high that its top would be beyond the Earth's gravitational pull. They would then ascend the tower where they would become weightless, enabling them to fly up to the heavens where they would confront God.
-5.
So they were going to basically build a hovercraft and make war against God. Now, I don't know if that's pshat or even close to it. I find that very creative and very fascinating that Rabbi Yonatan Abshas was talking about the laws of gravity 320 years ago. How the heck do you know about that stuff? And with that, we will stop this week's Parsha Pearls. And